deacon chairman shouldn't do that to the pastor. But anyway, I'm honored. I'm privileged. Thank you so much, church and deacon board. And it's my privilege to be here to serve with you and be your pastor. It's an honor to be called pastor. And I appreciate your faithfulness, your support, and all of this. This means a lot to us, so thank the Lord for it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I was announcing that I was planning on preaching on the application of the prayer, the corporate prayer. And I am still preparing that. So it's not that I'm not preaching because I'm not prepared tonight. It's just, I felt the Lord just putting the reins on me today and continuing with this theme on prayer. God has my attention on this. And I think it's a great topic to have your attention drawn to. There's no doubt about it. As we continue with this thought of our prayer life and praying individually, corporately, as a church, and the good Lord willing, God willing now on Sunday evening. Now, I hesitate to even announce it because I don't know how the Lord's going to be leading, but if the Lord keeps directing, I was planning on doing it tonight, but now, God willing, it's going to be on Sunday evening when I preach on the application of all these thoughts of what the Lord would have us to do in this local church to make this prayer ministry a reality. And tonight I want to just keep burdening us along this line tonight as we're focusing on this topic, vital topic, on the topic of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 and following, the Bible says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." If you'll notice, I want to begin preaching a message to you tonight that's simply entitled prayer. As we look at this, this is the topic that's under display here and on display for us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now, I remind you, anytime I announce that my plan is to do that, that is my plan. Unless the Lord directs otherwise, you understand what I'm saying to you. And I just felt as I was studying today and preparing today that the Lord said, "I've got more to teach you, son. So before you present it to the church for the application, just keep preaching on prayer. Just keep hitting that nail on the head. Keep ringing the bell, and then whenever all this gets ready and prepared, we'll present it to the church. I'm excited about it. Let's pray together as we preach on this one-word prayer tonight, just from these verses here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Father, would you bless this? Guide, lead, and direct, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this letter, Paul, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, he is instructing and encouraging young Timothy in a society that was secular and opposed to the preaching of salvation through Jesus Christ. And they were also opposed to the lifestyle of holiness. When you think about that, even today we're living in a society that's becoming more and more anti-Christian. A society that says right is wrong and wrong is right. A society where people live as if God were dead or irrelevant. However, before us in this text, we see one area in a Christian's life where he or she can truly make a difference. And it's in the matter of prayer. You know, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we rise, we breathe God's air, see God's sun, walk on God's earth, enjoy His grace and mercy. Yet many never take time to talk to God in prayer. For the most part, churches are busy doing visible things like building buildings, and there's nothing wrong with that, and holding meetings, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to spend more and more time in the secret place of prayer, communing with our God. It's the matter of prayer that we are going to be considering Going back to Dave Young, so just blame Dave Young, okay? God used him in my life. When he began to talk about prayer on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then I preached on it Sunday morning, and then we had the Lord's Supper, and now God's laying on my heart, preach on it again. And if he keeps leading me, I'm going to preach on it again Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, God willing now, you understand, I'm prefacing, God willing, will apply all of this to our church and just some different ways that we as a church can come together and pray and seek God. You know, before I bring out these eight things that are in our text tonight, right here, eight things about prayer in this text, I remind you just by means of introduction that we serve a God who hears prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. We serve a God who hears prayer. Secondly, this is just by means of introduction, we serve a God who answers prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 99:6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now let's take a close look. Again, just tying ourselves down to these eight verses. Just looking at these eight verses, I see eight things about prayer. And these things are things just to put your own prayer life under a biblical telescope here. Microscope, if you will. Looking deep into it, every detail, and see if your prayer life and my prayer life lines up with these eight things about prayer. Number one, the first thing we see about prayer in this text is we see the priority of prayer. This is found in verse number one. Notice what the Bible says, I exhort therefore that what? What's it say? It says, first of all, as supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, it's important that we see the priority placed upon prayer in this verse. It's interesting that we go through life, things coming and going, good days, bad days, ups, downs, triumphs, and troubles, and many times we don't pray. Or we do other things first, and then we pray later. But we're told here that the first thing we're to do is to pray. Not the second thing, not the middle thing, not the last thing, no, the first thing. First of all, that we should be praying. As the song says, ere left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. We're just simply looking at prayer tonight. I'm just not planning on going into a lot of detail, but just giving you eight things about prayer, the priority of it. It's to be the first thing we do. Secondly, we see the parts of prayer. This is found in verse number one. Well, the Bible says that first of all, supplications, notice this, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. The Lord draws our attention to different parts of praying that He wants us to be engaged in. Dr. John R. Rice is with the Lord, and I would by no means try to criticize him. You know me. And so he wrote a book on asking and receiving, and there's no doubt that asking is part of our praying. But asking is not all that prayer should be. We see different parts of praying here. And I want to give you just these four here. The Bible says supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Let's look at these. What does this mean? The word supplications is prayer for God's help in time of need. It means you recognize your own insufficiency and need for God to intervene. That's what supplications mean. Hebrews 4:16 puts it this way, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The fact is we need the Lord's help. Amen. Do you understand that? Do you know that? I know we say that with our mouth, but do we prove it with our prayer? In other words, if we really believe that we need God's help, it will naturally reflect itself in the prayer closet. You understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, if you say, I need you, God, but you never pray, your actions speak louder than your words. So do mine. So we're looking at the different parts here. Supplications, that means I acknowledge I need you and I'm asking Him for His help. Second part is simply the word prayers. Look it up. That word carries the idea that we make an appeal to God. It also could mean that we worship and spend time at His feet. It's all in this word, prayers. Spending time at His feet, just making appeals to Him. It's the passage, a great picture of this would be the passage of Mary in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, where Martha, remembered, is cumbered about much serving, but Mary was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. We all need to spend time at His feet, to worship Him, to adore Him, to ask Him for things. This is prayer. Supplications is recognizing I need You and I realize You're the only one that can help. Praying is coming to His feet and worship and adoration, seeking Him and asking Him and petitioning Him. Third one is intercessions. This carries the idea of going to God on behalf of somebody else. Whether it be for their salvation or whether it be for some other need. Hold your place here and turn to the book of Numbers chapter 21 with me for just a moment. The book of Numbers chapter 21. We're coming right back here to this passage, so hold your finger there. But Numbers chapter 21, look at verse number 5. Numbers 21:5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no water, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, they have manna, but they get tired of it. Can you imagine that? Bread from God. And they start complaining. Verse number 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. Here it is now. Here's intercession. And Moses prayed for the people. What's he doing? He's interceding. He's going to God on behalf of somebody else. James chapter 5 verse 16 says it this way, pray one for another. Pray one for another. This is intercessions. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer this. Don't even raise your hand right now. But do you know somebody that has a need? I mean, do you know somebody that has a legitimate need? Whether it be they need to be saved or they need this or they, and it is a legitimate need. It's not a want. It's a need in their life. Do you know somebody has a need? You know, one of the great things you can do when you talk to God is not just talk to God about yourself. By the way, are we not all selfish? Do we not all tend to be selfish? Look at your own prayer life. Is it not mainly for you? Now think, God give me this, and God take care of my family, and God would You meet our needs, and God, there's nothing wrong with that. God wants that. But He also wants us to be thinking about others and praying for them as well. This is intercession. Then the final point here is giving of thanks. Well, this is just different parts of prayer. The priority of prayer is, first of all, God wants it to be done. It's the first thing He wants done. The parts is He wants us to supplicate with Him. He wants us to understand that we need Him and He's the only one that can answer us. He wants us to pray, just to come to His feet, worship and adore Him and start petitioning Him. He wants us to bring other people's needs to Him. Then He wants us to be found giving thanks. This carries the idea of thanking the Lord for His goodness. Not only to us, but His goodness to others. Now, folks, we can sit here on Wednesday night and we can all agree God has been good. Amen or not, God has been good. I mean, every one of God's children should be able to think to themselves, He loves me. There's a song that says, He loves me like I'm His only child. Isn't that the truth? I mean, He loves me as if I'm the only child He's got. And He loves every child of God the same way. God's a good God. He loves His children. He takes care of us. And may I say, a great way to pray is not just to ask Him, is not just to worship Him, is not just to intercede for others. It's a good thing to pray sometimes, just coming into His presence and just saying, God, I'm not asking for a thing. I just want to thank you for what you've done for me. That's a good way to pray. God is pleased with that. Ephesians 5 verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6, with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We should spend time in prayer thanking our Lord for His goodness to us. And not just to us, but His goodness to other people as well. This is number two, the parts of prayer. Number three, we see the people to pray for. This is found in verses 1 and 2. Now, notice the last phrase of verse number 1 going into verse 2. Be made for all men. Then he gets specific. For kings, for all that are in authority. Now, when we think about who it is that God wants prayed for, he says, I want all men prayed for. All men. That's verse 1. But then he gets down and gets specific in verse number 2. He says, I want you to pray for kings. And I want you to pray for all that are in authority. You know what's interesting here? You know who was in authority at this time that this book was written? His name was Nero. He was wicked, ungodly. He was a leader who had his mom and his brothers killed to secure the throne. He was a leader who took Christians like you and like me. He would take us, dip our bodies, I'm talking about in hot wax, set the bodies on fire and use their light to eat his dinner by. That's who's in authority at this time. And God says, pray for him. Wow. We in our flesh says, I hope he gets what's coming to him, right? God says, wait a minute. I love him as much as I love anybody else. And I died for him as much as I died for anybody else. I do not approve what he's doing. And I will judge him. But what I want my children to do is whoever's in authority, pray for them. Pray for them. Even if the kings are ungodly, even if the rulers are ungodly, Christians are commanded to pray. You know, there are many who complain when leaders are not leading the way that they should. But God wants to know how much time are you praying for them? How much time are you spending asking God to work in their life? You know, on top of this, we should be praying, the Bible says, for all of those who are placed in a position of authority. This would apply to teachers, parents, bosses, the pastor. I hope you're praying for me. I trust you are. I need your prayers. And may I say this to you, just like I covet your prayers, God's commanded you to pray for me. He has. Not because of me, but because of the position that I hold. It's a position of authority. And if anybody in this local church needs God's wisdom, it's the pastor. There's no doubt about it. Everybody needs God's wisdom. But what I do, I'm talking about the decisions that I make, and we run through the deacons and we make these things together, it's going to affect your family. And I don't take that lightly, friends. I don't take that lightly at all. That's why I need prayers. I need wisdom to make sure that what I'm doing is God. No doubt about that. Are you praying for those in authority? Most people have authority. Everybody has authority. It's God. You understand what I'm saying to you. But I'm talking about humanly speaking, everybody has authority. Are you praying for them? These are the people to pray for. Every man, but specifically kings and all those in authority. Number four. The fourth thing about prayer, I'm trying not to get bogged down in these because I'd like to get through this tonight. Number four, we see the purpose of prayer. This is found in verse number 2. Notice this, for kings and for all that are in authority. Notice this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, what's this mean? The word quiet here, that we may lead a quiet, that means free from outward disturbance. Wouldn't it be great to be free from outward disturbance? Amen. You know what the word peaceable means? Free from inner turmoil. God says, I want it to be the where there's no outside disturbance and you're at peace inside your heart. And he says, I want you to have this in all godliness and honesty. Now, personally, I believe the direct interpretation of this means in context, because he's talking about praying for kings and those in authority. I personally believe that the direct interpretation of this means that as we pray for kings and others in authority, like government, God can work in such a way that God's children can live a life of godliness before God and honesty before man without being harassed by persecution. It is possible to live in a free country. We're living in one right now. And that's why we need to pray for these upcoming elections. We need to pray that God will put in who he wants to be in there, who's going to stand for religious liberty and stand against abortion and stand against the homosexual agenda and stand for the freedom that we have to preach the word of God. You say, we don't understand what party I am. Fooey on a party. I'm talking about voting the way God wants you to vote. And praying and seeking God and asking God to bless the president and help him keep on making decisions that please God and put people in office that please God so the gospel can be taken from America around the world. God can so answer a prayer like that he starts working and moving among the government and we can live in peace and quietness to do the work of God. But I also submit to you that as we pray, no matter what's going on, no matter who's in authority, we can do right before God and man with quietness in our soul and peace in our heart. I believe that application is there, no doubt about it. And I'm telling you that the purpose of prayer is that we are quiet and at peace. There's no inner turmoil. And even if it comes from the outside, it cannot reach my heart. Prayer can do that for you. God can do that for you. This is the purpose. Let me give you number five. Let's notice the provoking to prayer. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Is that not enough provoking to go ahead and pray? In other words, here's what I mean. We're told here how this kind of praying is good and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's what it says. In other words, when you pray like this, it pleases God. God's pleased with it. That reminds you that this is what life is about. Life is about just pleasing the Lord. What is God's will? What does God want? What is the desire of God? He has a will in everything. Makes no difference what it is. Makes no difference what you're going through, what you're searching for, God has a will in it. And all we need to do is find the will of God and do it because it pleases God. And here's something that we all can agree because the Word of God says it. Here's something that pleases God. That's enough to get on our face and say, God, make me a prayer warrior like this right here. That's where I'm saying it provokes us. We see that one of the things that pleases God. Isn't it interesting that he didn't just stop with God? He said, this pleases God. Our Savior. In other words, he's worthy for us to please him. Look what he's done for us. He has saved us. So it ought to please us to please him. And it ought to provoke us to prayer like this because this is what pleases my Savior. It should provoke me, encourage me, stimulate me to pray like this. Proverbs 15:8 says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights when the upright people pray. Hey, you want to bring a smile to God's face? Pray. Go to him. Send up supplication. Send up prayers. Send up intercession. Send up giving of thanks. And he's pleased with it. This is the provoking of prayer. It thrills God to hear from his children. Have y'all have children or grandchildren that live far away from you? Would you raise your hand? Doesn't it do something for you when they call? Does it not? Does it not do something for you when you're separated? You're not there together and they call you of their own free will. Doesn't it make your day? That's your baby calling you. That's your sweetie calling you. They just wanted to talk to you. And what did it do? Hey, you'll drop, unless it's an emergency, you would drop anything you're doing because your child called you. Am I right or wrong? God's the same way. He's not like us. We're like him is what I'm trying to say. We're made in his image. It thrills you to hear from your children, and it thrills him to hear from his. That ought to provoke you to pray, friends. Let me give you the sixth thing. We're moving on. The sixth thing about prayer is the place of prayer. Where do you pray? Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray where? What's it say? Everywhere. So you know what that means? The point here is we can pray and should pray everywhere we go. Our God is omnipresent. Therefore, the place of prayer, it's anywhere. It's everywhere. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, where would you be if God could only hear for you? I'm talking about only hear you from that one room. You're out of that room, can't pray. No. Hey, we see that Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, they prayed in jail. We see in Jonah chapter 2 that Jonah prayed inside of a whale. We see in Acts chapter 21 that Paul prayed on the beach. We see in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus prayed on a mountain. We see in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 that Nehemiah prayed during a conversation. He was praying to God. We see in Genesis chapter 24 that a servant was sitting on a well and he began to pray. We see in Jonah chapter 1 verse 14 that the boatmen were praying on a ship. We see in Luke chapter 23 verse 42 that the thief was praying on a cross dying. Here's the point. Wherever you may be, wherever you're at, it's always in order to pray to God. You do not have to be in certain locations. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. Number 7, 2 more and I'm done. The 7th thing about prayer is we see the purity in prayer. Verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Look at this now. Lifting up holy hands. Remember Dave Young talking about this is an acceptable posture. Remember that lifting up holy hands. The idea here, when it says lifting up holy hands, it's interesting, it does not say lifting up hands. It says lifting up holy hands. You know what this tells me? This means, according to my study, the idea here is that when we come into God's presence, we should come into His presence not defiled by sin, but rather our hands are clean and our hands are pure. Turn with me. Hold your place here now. Turn with me to Psalm 24. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm number 24, and look at verse number 3. Psalm 24, verse 3. Talking about the purity in prayer. Does God want you to pray? Yes. Where can you pray? Anywhere. Now we're looking at some of the how do you pray. Is God going to hear your prayer regardless? Yes or no? No. You got to meet some conditions. So do I. If you're not holy, if your hands are dirty, if there's something in your life that is displeasing to God, and you know it, He will not hear your prayers. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Turn back to our text here. Psalm 66:18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, the key word there is regard. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means this: nobody's perfect. Nobody is. As a matter of fact, if you're ever thoroughly, completely right with God, it may not last very long. Because we're human beings, we're in the flesh. We sin all the time. Every one of us. I pray often, Lord, forgive me for the sins I know about, and forgive me for the sins I don't even know about. That'd be a good prayer for you to pray too. We sin sometimes, don't even know we're doing it. But this verse says this: if you regard iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear you pray. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If God waited until we were perfect, he wouldn't hear any of our prayers. Amen? But if you regard iniquity, he said, don't pray to me. That means this: if you know it's there, you know it's there, and it's wrong, and you know it, and you do nothing about it, God says, don't pray, I'm not going to listen. Now, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. I've got to know when I get on my knees, I've got to know that when I'm praying, God's listening to me. I've got to know that. I've got to know that. Hey, this life's bigger than me, friends. My children need a father who can get a hold of God. This church needs a pastor that can get a hold of God. This pastor needs sheep, if you will, the flock, that can get a hold of God. And I'm telling you, if you have dirty hands, get your hands cleaned up. Because if nothing else, you need to be able to get a prayer through. And you don't know when you're going to need to get a big one through. I don't either. Don't you want to know that if the bottom drops out, you can hit your knees and God says, I'm listening. I've got to have it that way, friends. And the way to have it that way, one way, is I lift up holy hands. My hands are clean. I sure hope that's true in my life. If it's not, I believe the Lord will reveal that to me. I want to confess it, get it out of my life. Amen. That's the purity. Final thing we look at is we see the prohibitions in prayer. He prohibits some things. Verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Look at this. Without wrath and doubting. He prohibits two things when you pray. He said, don't do it in wrath. And don't do it in doubting. Let's separate these two. Okay? What's wrath mean? You know what wrath means? Look it up. It means anger toward your fellow man. That's what it means. Let me say that when you pray, make sure there's no anger between you and somebody else in your heart. Somebody you're mad at? Somebody you're upset with? Somebody you say, well, I tell you, I'll never get over that. You don't know what they did to me, Pastor. Here's what I do know. You need to get a prayer through to God. Amen. And if there's something wrong between you and another human being, God says, I prohibit that in your prayer life. Don't come to me like that. Now, folks, that right there is another reason why if there's anything going on, it needs to be corrected. Because we've got to be a people that can pray and God hears our prayers. Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any. Notice that verse does not say, forgive if they ask for it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say forgive if they come crawling back to you. It does not say that. It says when you pray, forgive. That's a choice. Forgive if any
body, if you have aught against any. Now, let's think about what that verse is saying. If you have aught against any, and you try to stand praying, and you refuse to forgive, God's not going to hear your prayers, friends. It's just not going to happen. Am I making sense to you tonight? He prohibits wrath towards fellow man. Then he prohibits doubting. The word doubting, wrath, is towards fellow man. Doubting is faith in God. That's what it is. So here he is prohibiting being wrong with our fellow man horizontally and then doubting him vertically. When you pray, the Lord wants you to have faith in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just let me turn to it. In the book of James, chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have the faith of a mountain. No. You have to have the faith of a mustard seed. I remind you, when the church was praying in Acts chapter 12, they were praying for Peter, for God to deliver Peter. And God delivered Peter, and he came knocking on the door. What'd they think? They told Rhoda, remember? Exactly right. They said, you're mad. Can I paraphrase? You're crazy, Rhoda. That's his spirit. They were praying and God heard their prayer and answered it. And they didn't even believe it. Now, was their faith great? No! But it must have been like a mustard seed. I'm not saying you have to have great faith. I'd like to have great faith, wouldn't you? I mean, the Lord looked at that mother in the New Testament and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. I hope he can say that about me. But I hope he can at least say, small is your faith. It's not doubt. It's believe God. Get this. When you put the purity and the prohibitions together, clean hands, no wrath, no doubting, here's what he's saying. When you come to me in prayer, make sure there's no sin in your life, no hatred in your heart, and no doubt in your mind. That's a sermon outline right there. What a privilege it is to be able to pray. It's a privilege. Anytime, any place, about anybody, or anything. God wants us praying always, everywhere, for all people. Now I ask these questions in closing. Is prayer the number one priority in your life? Is it really number one? I'm just working down through these 8 points. Are you seeking God's help by recognizing your own insufficiency? Are you spending time at His feet? Are you interceding for others? Are you giving thanks? Are you praying for those who are in authority over you? Do you have peace in your heart and quietness in your life? Are you pleasing the Lord with your prayer? Are you praying everywhere? Are you pure when you pray? Are you free from anger? And do you believe God? That's a prayer course tonight, friends, what it is. And we all need to improve. Amen? I'd like for somebody to come and get ready to play something on the piano, but while they're coming, you're still looking at me here. I just want to say something to you. God's doing something. God's doing something in my own heart. And I believe He's wanting to do something great in this local church. I know He does. There's a reason that God used Dave Young to burden my heart in the matter of prayer and praying as a church. There's a reason. I can't get away from it. And instead of ending it tonight with the application, God said, I don't want you to stop yet. I want you to keep going. Therefore, I preached on prayer tonight. Lest he changes my mind, I'm going to preach on prayer again Sunday morning. Lest he changes my mind, we're going to apply this thing Sunday night. I'm going to tell you something, friends. It'd be great for a crowd this size to get burdened in prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I remind you what God's Word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. While God would want all of us to get on fire for God, will you be one of the two or three? That's all it takes. God's speaking to me. I believe he's speaking to you too. Let's let him have his way with us. Amen tonight. I am excited about what the Lord is doing. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what all that is yet. But I can just sense it. I can sense it. He's trying to do something. It will only happen. Are you listening? It will only happen as a result of prayer. It's not the only thing, but it is a major part of it. No doubt about it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father, would you bless this? Guide, lead, and direct us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. In just a moment, she's going to begin to play through softly. In just a moment. I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you're here tonight but you've never said yes to Jesus, or you don't even know what I'm talking about, in just a moment, we're going to open the invitation. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. And then tonight, friends, I'm calling on you now. I'm beginning to call on you as a church as we're begging God. And I hope you're praying for me with how God wants to apply all this to the church prayer. I hope you'll pray for me this week as God puts me on your heart as I'm preparing the application to all of this. And whatever that means. And maybe God's speaking to you tonight. As she begins to play through softly, let me ask you this question. How many tonight have been challenged in your prayer life? Would you raise your hand? You've been challenged in this. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Have you really burdened about this? Now, folks, be careful, okay? Don't lie to the Holy Ghost. Have you say, Pastor, God is really working unusually in my heart in the matter of prayer. Now maybe he's not doing that yet. Maybe he'll wait till this weekend. But you say right now, God is stirring me. And I believe it's in the matter of prayer. And I'd like for you to pray for me, that God will guide me, show me what he wants me to do. Have you feel that strongly about it right now? Would you raise your hand? God's speaking to you like that. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Garrity begin to sing. And if you raise your hand that God challenged you tonight, or you want God to lead you in a plain path because you're really burdened about this, this is God stirring your heart. As he begins to sing, I'm going to pray again here momentarily, and then he'll sing. And as soon as I say amen, he begins to sing, you leave your place and come. Would you do that? Father, would you bless it now and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. He's singing him. God, if God's using this, come on. Come
talk to God. Have thine own way, Lord.
God really moving. God really, really burdening you about this.
Thou art the potter.
God, take us to the next level in this.
I am the clay.
This is it. No doubt about it.
Mold me and make
if you're here but you've never trusted Christ, come.
After
let us take a Bible.
Will,
share the gospel.
While I am waiting.
you'll take out your prayer list tonight. We will give you some specific prayer requests for our missionaries. Turn to that missionary section there. And these are going to be pretty short tonight. Stephen Trail and his wife were just with us, or with you. I was out of town. I missed it again. But as you know, they're here in the States and be traveling soon to move to Iraq. And here's his prayer request he wants us to pray. As we take this next step, we're asking God to make our path plain and straight. So let's pray that way with them, okay? That God would just show them exactly what they ought to do as they make that move. Secondly, Junior and Brandy McIntosh, they're in Belize at the Bullet Tree Baptist Church. There must be a tree with a bullet in it nearby or something, I'm not sure. But let's pray for these folks. They're trying to build this church and got a good congregation. They're running a bus reaching children, and they're trying to teach the Word of God and build the church. So let's pray for them, that God would use them. And then the Christie family, they're working in France. And one of their specific requests this summer was to try to reach their neighbors in their cul-de-sac and praying for God to give them a greater impact on their neighbors' lives. So let's pray for the Christies as they're working there in France.
Amen. This is our week to stay in the auditorium together. And I like what we did last week. Now, I don't want anybody to ever feel pressure to do these kind of things, but if you feel led and so on, I would like for you to find somebody to pray with tonight. Now, you may already be sitting with somebody like that, or you may prefer to pray alone. That's perfectly fine, okay? But I like whenever we're praying that somebody's there with you if possible. And as somebody's praying out loud, you can pray right there. I felt the Lord really leading me tonight to take these parts of prayer that was the second point of my sermon, the supplications, the prayers and what that means, the intercessions, and then the giving of thanks, and really just wrap our prayer time around those four parts and just consider these things. For instance, supplications is praying for God's help in time of need. I'd like to ask you this question. How many of you all have a need? I mean, it's a legitimate need, and we're not asking what it is. It's none of our business, but you say it is a legitimate need, something you're praying about, something that you know God is the only one that can answer that, and there's a legitimate need in your heart and life tonight, and hey, that can be a good thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? I mean, just... you need peace, or you need God to come through in this, or you've got a real need and just need God to really answer something, to really just turn into a supplication tonight. Have you all have a need like that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. And I want us to pray about those things, okay? Have you all have somebody else that has a real need right now? Would you raise your hand? Somebody else? I'm getting ahead of myself here because we're going to intercede here too.